This morning we find the Israelites just having escaped slavery in Egypt, and they've come to the edge of the promised land, and God tells Moses to send 12 spies into the land to see what kind of land this is going to be. And here we find Caleb and Joshua and the rest of the spies coming to report back what they found on the promised land. And we see two men who display great faith while the rest of the people of God are scared and afraid of what the promised land holds. Hear part of this story found in Numbers 13. The spies came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. They reported to them and the whole assembly and showed them the fruits of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. And we even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "You should go up and take possession of the land, for certainly we can do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. And they said, "This land we explored devours those living in it, and all the people we saw are of great size. The Nephilim there, descendants of Anak, for the Nephilim, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want to tell you a story today about the people of God, about two men who had great faith in the midst of impossible odds, and how the rest of the Israelites were afraid and disobedient to God's command. So once upon a time, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, and they had horrible conditions living under Pharaoh. He beat them and abused them, took away their land, wouldn't let them worship in the way they wanted to worship God. And the Israelites longed for their freedom, to have a place to call their own. So God sent 10 plagues to torment Pharaoh, to free them from this slavery. And eventually Pharaoh relented and let the Israelites go. And Moses led them out into the desert, and God parted the Red Sea, and they traveled across this great land, and finally arriving at this promised land, the land of Cana, that God had promised to give to his people so that they could be free to worship and live the way that God wanted them to live. When they got there, they found that it was a beautiful country. It had bountiful fruits and the most decadent of foods that they had been missing for so long. And they brought back some of this fruit to show the rest of the Israelite people. They brought back grapes and pomegranates and figs, and they showed just how good the land was. And after 40 days of exploring, these 12 spies who were sent into the land came back and said that the land indeed flows with milk and honey. And yet they were afraid. They were afraid because there were many challenges that they saw, many things that they thought they could not overcome. They reported that the people there were powerful, and they had strong cities that were well fortified and very large. And they didn't believe that they would be able to go in and possess this land. They were afraid because they thought they would be beaten down by these enemy armies that were holding this land that God had promised to them. But Caleb, one of the spies who went in and saw the promised land, remained confident. He says, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." Caleb knew that if this was God's promise to us, that they had nothing to fear. But the other scouts resisted. And they said, "The land that we explored devours those who are living in it. And all the people we saw were so great in size that we seem like grasshoppers in their eyes. We would be easily crushed by them. We stand no chance against the people living in this land." And the 10 spies spread this bad word amongst the rest of the Israelites. They said that there was no way that they could take over the land. And in fact, the land wasn't really that good. They didn't really want it that badly. So they became scared, and they lost their faith in God and that God would provide. So they began to grumble against Moses and their other leaders and said, "If only we had died in Egypt, or if God had killed us in the wilderness, why did the Lord bring us all this way to the edge of the promised land, only to die by their sword here?" They were afraid, and they argued, "We should choose another leader, somebody to take us back to Egypt, somebody to bring us back to Pharaoh," thinking that living in slavery in Egypt would be better than whatever the promised land would hold for them. But Caleb and Joshua remained firm, and they pleaded with the people to trust God and to keep the faith. And they said, "The land we passed through and explored was exceedingly good. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he'll lead us into that land, a land that's flowing with milk and honey, and God will give it to us." "Friends," Caleb said, "the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid. This is the promised land. It belongs to us. Let us go with faith." But the Israelites were afraid, and they became violent, and they threatened to stone Caleb and Joshua to death because of their encouragement to trust God and to believe in him. The Lord became angry. He became mad at what the Israelites were doing, and he went to Moses and he said, "How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me, in spite of all the signs that I have done among them?" God threatened to strike his people down, to kill all of the Israelites with a plague, and to start over with a new people, maybe a more faithful people. But Moses pleaded on behalf of the Israelites, and he reminded God that if he killed off the Israelites, God's enemies would hear about it, and they would think God was weak. Almost sounds like Moses is appealing to God's ego here. If you kill your people, Pharaoh's going to think you couldn't take care of them. You don't want that, do you? And Moses reminds God that he's a loving God, that he's slow to anger, abounding in love, forgiving of sin and rebellion. And Moses asks God to forgive the Israelites their sin and to let them start anew. So God relents, and he does forgive the Israelites for their disbelief. But he says that none of those who didn't trust him to overcome the obstacles that's laid before them, none of those people would ever see the promised land firsthand. But that out of his great love and mercy, he would give it to their descendants. None except Caleb and Joshua, who believed in God's promise and remained true, would ever step foot in the promised land and receive these gifts. And God says that his servant Caleb has a different spirit. He follows God wholeheartedly. So God will bring him into the promised land and him and his descendants after him. But the rest of the Israelites, the rest were forced to live in exile in the desert and to wait until an entire generation died off before they were allowed to go back to the promised land and to get this gift God had created for them. But once again, the Israelites disobeyed. They changed their mind like fickle children. "No, no, God, now we're ready. Now we'll behave. We'll do what you want. We want to go to the promised land now." And so they did. And they went against God's command, and they marched into the promised land, only to be chased away by these giant, strong, abundant armies, and forced to spend 40 years wandering the desert, waiting for their lives to end. And it was only after the last Israelite passed away, all those who disobeyed God had gone, that God allowed the Israelites to return to the promised land. And only Caleb and Joshua, because they trusted God, were allowed this great gift. Oh, how I see myself in this story. I can't tell you how many times I have distrusted God, doubted what he told me. Situations where I've lost my nerve and gone back on a promise to God. Times where I've complained and grumbled against those who were pointing me towards the faith. I'm amazed that God hasn't struck me down where I stand because of my disbelief. And yet we have a God who is loving, forgiving, generous, and kind. Here's the thing that stands out to me in this story. Out of all this worry and fear, all these challenges that lay ahead that the Israelites were paralyzed for, they forgot that this land was already theirs, that God had already given them the promised land, that there was no doubt about it. Their success was guaranteed if only they trusted in God, and that the challenges that lie ahead of them were nothing compared to God's great strength and power. And when I read this story about God's people losing faith and turning away from God, we see it repeated time and time again in God's people, in God's church. And it makes me wonder how we have lost faith in God and may have turned away from what he is calling us to do. When have we doubted God's promises or become overwhelmed by the challenges before us? When I think of our church, it's so easy to slip into despair and to be overwhelmed by the things that loom over us, whether it's not knowing how our budget's going to get met, or looking at the culture that's changing so quickly around us and not knowing how to keep up, even if it's seeing empty pews and missing our children who we wish were sitting next to us today. It's easy to be overwhelmed by these challenges and forget that God's promise is true and that he is powerful and mighty. It's easy to lose the faith when the road ahead of us seems impossible, and we, in our humanly ways, don't know how things are going to work out. And I ask today, do we believe that God has a plan and a purpose for us, even when the way forward seems impossible? Do we trust that he has not abandoned us? Do we believe that God has called us, the United Presbyterian Church, right here in Whitensville, to important work, that our job is to remain true to that work, no matter what challenges we run across? Do we believe that God will remain true to us, that the promises that he's made to us to love and care for us, to guide and protect us, are still true, even when we're overwhelmed by challenge and disappointment? Or do we grumble and complain? Do we crucify and threaten to stone those who point us towards God and push us forward? Do we become fearful of what the future may hold? How have we allowed ourselves to become paralyzed by fear and uncertainty? And in our own lives, do we find that we act more like Caleb and Joshua, trusting and obeying God no matter what? Or are we like the Israelites who lose faith and run away? Where do we doubt God's promises to us? Have we become overwhelmed with the challenges that we find in our own life and turned away from God's plan for our lives? Do we trust God with our finances? Or have we found ourselves hoarding the resources, what we have, and holding back, not trusting God to provide for us? Do we believe that God cares about our future, even when it seems like the future is falling down around us, not working out the way we want it to, doors being closed every way we look? Do we have faith that God will provide for our needs, for our every need, that He won't abandon or forsake us. He won't leave our families. He won't forget about us and His love for us. Have we turned away from God, deciding that we know what's best, and try to do everything on our own? How amazing is it that Danielle could pick up and travel 5,000 miles to the other side of the world because God called her to go, and she was willing to put aside her own fears and worries and the challenges that lay ahead of her and obey God? I think the temptation is always to trust ourselves over God, to believe the things we can see and touch, the things we can control. But we forget that we're not really in control, but that that's okay, because God is, and there is no challenge so great that God can't overcome it. Are we willing this day to trust God with our church, with our families, with our lives, and know that He will provide and He will overcome? It's so easy to live in fear, afraid of the unknown, overwhelmed by the obstacles that lay before us. But our invitation this morning is to do better next time, to be like Caleb and have a different spirit, and to follow God wholeheartedly, freely, and completely, to trust in God's promises no matter what, to not be overwhelmed by the challenges of this world, but to believe that God is on our side and that God can overcome everything we are facing today. Do you really believe that God wants what's best for you and for our church? Do you trust that God is bigger than any obstacle we face? And will you follow wherever He leads? Let us pray. God, I thank You that You do lead us as You led the Israelites so many years ago, that You free us from the pain, the bondage, the suffering we experience. God, that You have a plan and a purpose for our lives that is good. Help us to trust in You, to follow You, to obey You in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.